That is, may God bestow on us his grace. It's the hymn that we're going to be looking at on this February the 27th in the year of our Lord, 2018. You're listening to Rumination Tuesday, which means we're looking at the hymn for the following Sunday, which is the third Sunday in Lent. And with us is Pastor Mark Smith.
Hey, Tom, how you doing this morning? Beautiful day. Spring is in the air, at least I hope. I hope we're on the way to spring.
You are? Well, you know, it's in the 50s the next few days. So.
Well, I'll tell you, this is nice weather today. I'll take this.
It's supposed to rain tomorrow, though. But
yeah, well.
Yes, before we get to the hymn, you challenged me with something last week. Do you remember what it was?
Oh, boy.
You were saying...
I can hardly remember what yesterday was.
Yesterday was Monday, Mark.
Yes, I know that.
Okay, well, I thought you said you could hardly remember.
Okay, well, what did I challenge you on?
You were talking about false doctrine.
Okay.
And you were making the point that doctrine is hardly mentioned.
Oh, the word. I was talking about the word doctrine. The word doctrine is... I don't hear a lot of hymns that actually use that word. Now, teaching, of course, and the idea of doctrine, yeah, but doctrine doesn't strike me as being one that's regularly used in the hymns.
Well, one of them is, and I looked them up, is about, it says, the Catechism's Doctrine Plain.
Oh, yeah, that's right, you're right.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And another
we
one,
use that hymn.
One in Hope and Doctrine.
Yeah, there you go again. Okay.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, are those the only two you found?
Those are the only two... Because I have a concordance of the old hymnal.
I've got one of those too. Those are good.
Oh, are they good?
Have they got a concordance for the
no,
Lutheran service?
No, I keep bugging Pastor Gehrke to get that.
That is so helpful.
Oh,
so helpful because like for instance, a hymn I was choosing. The Crown.
Yes.
The theme of the Crown. Okay, let's go to all the hymns that have Crown in it.
Yes.
And that really is helpful.
No. What I do is I take this book, and by the way, the word crown looks like has 70 hymns.
Yeah, right.
It's unbelievable. The trouble is the numbers are the old hymnal.
Right.
So I look up under the old hymnal and see if it's in the new hymnal.
Exactly. So you can still do it, but it takes longer.
Yes. In fact... one of the things about this hymn, of course, may God bestow on us his grace. It's not written by Martin Luther. Who is the writer?
Let me think. Oh, Martin Luther.
You are never going to learn. How many times has your wife told you, make sure...
I thought you said it wasn't written by Martin Luther.
Well, yeah, I was trying to trick you. Yeah, I'm Jacob.
Yeah, he actually wrote two hymns entitled, May God Bestow on Us His Grace. Right by each other in the hymnal.
Exactly. Paul Spiratus, who was the castle preacher and hymnist at Königsberg, helped Luther prepare a booklet that appeared in Wittenberg. And Luther said that the customary benediction contained in the Roman Mass be given, which was, May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and also the benediction from number 6, which the Lord himself appointed. Then Luther added one more option, namely Psalm 67, God our God will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. And it's at this point that Spiratus, in that book, appended Luther's hymn, May God bestow on us his grace, which, by the way, is a paraphrase of Psalm 67, and perhaps written by Luther to serve the very purpose of supplanting the spoken psalm verses. Now, by the way, this is the first Protestant hymn with a mission thrust.
I noticed that it was a mission hymn, yes.
Yes. And so I was saying...
Protestant hymn with a mission thrust.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Huh. Wow.
Most of them were doctrinal.
Yeah.
You know, talking about the doctrine.
Yeah, sure.
But this one is really quite different. Now... we're only going to be going a little while because I'm preaching today here. I preached at the LCF this morning and then this at 10 o'clock here. But you don't have to come anymore to
you can just
the
hear
International
it.
Center. Yes,
just hear you next half hour.
That's right.
Right.
Although they may cut mine out. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see. I doubt they will. But I'm going to be talking about the word Israel.
Oh, that
yeah.
should be good.
I have a different understanding of Israel than almost every commentary and translation of the Bible has. But we'll wait on that. So, you were wondering, boy, there's only three verses. What are we going to talk about? Well, half the time is gone.
Yes.
Because we're talking about that word doctrine, etc. So, if you would be so kind to read the first stanza.
May God bestow on us his grace, with blessings rich provide us. And may the brightness of his face to life eternal guide us. That we his saving health may know, his gracious will and pleasure, and also to the nations show Christ's riches without measure, and unto God convert them. So there is your missionary thrust there.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. However, I really have a problem with the first line.
May God bestow on us his grace with blessings rich provide us. What's your problem with any of that? Oh, in other words, I guess what it is. You're even asking God. He does it without our asking. Is that your point?
No.
What?
A lot of denominations, including the Roman Catholic one.
Yeah.
They say we're saved by grace, but then they indicate that is because it's faith plus works.
Uh-huh, right.
So how do they understand the word grace? They understand, and evangelists do this also, or evangelicals, I should say, Baptists and others, that grace is a power source
yes,
given uh-huh. to us.
Yeah.
So as soon as I read this, may God bestow on us his grace. We don't consider grace to be a power source given to us in order to become saved.
No, it's forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation.
But what is grace then? Grace isn't some power that God gives to us. It's his attitude
right.
toward
okay.
us.
Okay.
So I'm hoping Martin Luther had this right. And the way you find it is that what the item says? Say, may God bestow on us his grace with blessings rich provide us.
So far, so good.
Yes, because what are the blessings? It's not the power given to us to do good works to be saved, but the blessings would be baptism and
life, forgiveness of sins, eternal life, salvation.
And the other sacrament.
Oh, the Lord's Supper.
Yes, yes. Notice, who's running the verbs
the
here?
The verbs, God.
Yeah, God is running the verbs in the sense that it doesn't say, may God bestow on us his grace, so with those blessings, I can save myself.
Yeah, no, that's not it at all.
No, the blessings are the means of grace.
That's right.
And God's grace is his attitude. Remember, we always talk about God is gracious, and he's also merciful.
Yes.
Do you remember that now?
And yes, and I also think of the Aaronic benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The
yes.
Lord make his face to shine upon thee. That's his attitude upon us.
That's
the Lord
right.
lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace.
Yes.
So his attitude is one of grace.
So if somebody asks you, what's the difference between grace and mercy?
Go ahead, tell us.
You can't remember that.
Grace, let's see. Grace is getting what we don't deserve.
Excellent.
Mercy is not getting what we deserve.
Excellent.
Okay.
Boy.
I'm learning slowly.
Yes.
Well, I still have to be reminded, though. I still
yeah,
have to be reminded
it's just
that.
Something people just don't think about. So if you're understanding his grace as getting that which we don't deserve, with blessings rich provide us, and may the brightness of his face to life eternal guide us. Now, I have a lot of Bibles. I haven't seen a picture of the face of Jesus. What does that mean? His face.
His face?
Yes. How would we understand that?
His countenance, his...
Where do we see the face of God?
In Jesus.
Yes.
He's the one that reveals God to us.
Yes. In right. fact...
I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Part of the sermon today, I'm talking about Jacob wrestling with God.
Yes, at Peniel.
And why is it called Peniel? Because it means the face of God.
The face of God, huh?
Yeah.
How about that?
I have seen the face of God, yes. And I'm still alive.
Yes. That's a great story. That's an interesting story. This mysterious person comes and wrestles with Jacob all night long.
Yep.
And... Now, I've always been bothered with that passage where it says, you shall be called Israel because you have wrestled with God and have prevailed. How do you prevail when wrestling with God?
We're not looking at that right now because that's part of my sermon.
I don't want to steal your thunder.
No. Or the lightning.
Right.
that we, his saving health, may know. So that means you don't get cancer. What is saving health?
Saving health. No, I don't think it's physical health here.
Exactly. It's spiritual.
It's what we need for our salvation.
Forgiveness of sins.
Yes, we're sin sick.
And the robe of righteousness.
Robe of righteousness to cover us, right.
Now, to prove to you that Luther understands that grace is actually an attitude of God. What is the next phrase after saving health may know what?
His gracious will and pleasure.
See, that's what grace means.
Yeah. Luther gets it, doesn't he?
Oh, no, I think he does. Or else I bought 54 volumes for no sense. But you see, context is everything.
Yes.
And also to the nations show Christ's riches without measure, and unto God convert them. What converts them?
The power of the Holy Spirit.
No, I mean reading the text.
And also to the nations show Christ's riches without measure.
That's
his gospel.
That's well said.
Yeah.
Yeah. The gospel is what saves us. Yeah, I oftentimes have questions that I've already looked at this, and it's good that you catch on as quick as you do. But that's,
yes, it.
Otherwise, yeah.
I'd be in big trouble with you.
No, with your wife. I don't tell Mark ahead of time what questions I'm going to give him because I have a lot of confidence that because he understands law and gospel. It's not hard for him to come up that what really feeds us is Christ's riches without measure. Now, here you say it's going to be hard to get through this hymn because it's so short. Time's almost up, and we're only done stanza one.
Yeah, how about that?
Would you read stanza two?
Thine over all shall be the praise and thanks of every nation, and all the world with joy shall raise the voice of exultation. For thou shalt judge the earth, O Lord, nor suffer sin to flourish. Thy people's pasture is thy word, their souls to feed and nourish, in righteous paths to keep them.
Notice who's running all the verbs
right.
again.
God is, of course.
Yes.
Thine.
In
overall.
The person and work of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's the one whose riches without measure, and he feeds the soul. God never can say how things really are from his point of view because we wouldn't understand it. When Paul had that vision, he said there were no words.
Right.
So he's always using metaphors.
Like people's pasture is thy word.
There well said,
yes.
Yeah. So if the people's pasture, what are the people? Metaphorically.
What? The sheep?
Yes. And the pasture is thy word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it reminds me of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Yes.
He maketh me to
walk and
lie down in green pastures. Right. And well, that's another translation, I'm sure. And besides still waters. I never realized the still waters thing until I was explained that if sheep get near Roaring Waters, their wool drenches them and they drown.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's why it's beside still waters.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Really good. But once more, this is God bestowing on us his grace, and it all comes from the attitude of God, not from us. It doesn't say, for thou shalt judge the earth, O Lord, because we have stopped from sinning.
Yeah, what are those Latin terms for grace that we talk about?
Gratia infusa,
and what's the other one? Isn't there another one? Gratia infusa?
Yeah, there's three or four of them, depending on what you mean. But we're talking about the grace that's outside of ourselves.
Right.
That's not infused in us.
Right.
As a power.
Mm-hmm.
But it escapes my mind right now what the other one is. You should have told me you were going to ask that question. That's not very nice. So I'm going to ask some questions going to answer.
No. Okay, go right ahead.
Oh, okay.
Okay, great one.
All righty. what is an aorist participle?
Oh.
Okay. Going on with stanza 3. I'll read that. Oh, let the people praise thy worth in all good works increasing. The land shall plenteous fruit bring forth. Thy word is rich in blessing. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit bless us. Let all the world praise him alone. Let solemn awe possess us. Now let our hearts say amen. And amen means what?
Yes, yes, it shall be so.
Yeah, it's kind of a vow. I kind of miss the amens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was at
Some hymns have them, some hymns don't.
And some of the organists will always put the amen on the end.
The organist... They usually have an opinion as to whether an amen should follow or not.
Yeah.
I know there's a reason for that. Now, this one has the amen built right into the lyrics.
That's right.
You know?
And let our hearts. But once more, we see that God's grace is not some power source that gets us saved, but rather, look at that, thy word is rich in blessing. So that it's the word of God.
That's right.
That is the source of the power.
That's right. That's the gospel and the Holy Spirit.
Oh, we
works
need to hear that today. Issues Etc. just had a conversation about so-called prophets telling the future for 2018. And what they did really well is they had different prophets who gave different predictions.
Yeah.
They were contradictory one to another.
Sure.
And so,
if it corresponds with God's word, of course,
yeah,
it's true. If it doesn't, if it conflicts, it's false.
Right. There's not too much. I looked up 2018 in the Bible. It's not there.
2018.
Yeah. Our year.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah. It doesn't say, and in 2018.
No.
You know, this will happen or that
no,
will happen.
No, in fact, we don't know. We don't know when the world will end, of course.
No, it could be a million years from
right.
now.
Right. That's a long time.
Yeah, I know. Well, you won't care.
I hope it's not that long.
Why?
Well, I don't know.
Because you'll not be around in 30 years.
Huh? Well, I don't know. I like to think that the Lord will return and he'll take us to that new heaven and new earth, not too long.
See, I have a little different attitude. I hope he doesn't return because he said...
What?
Right away.
Oh, okay. All right. Don't say that. All right, go ahead.
Because when is he returning? When no more are going to be saved.
Yes, that's right.
And so that's why I hope he doesn't return right away, because there's still a lot to be saved.
There's still a lot to be saved, absolutely.
Yeah. And that's the kind of work that we're doing. Labors for Christ were over at the chapel I just did. And I made the point to them that works of mercy don't convert anybody.
No, you're right.
But they open up conversation.
That's right.
People say, why are you doing this for us? And then it gives you the opportunity to share the message.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.
Yes, and the glory comes about because you give Jesus the credit. You don't take it for yourself. So that's really an important point. So may God bestow on us his grace. Now, you said there were two forms, but I don't see, is there any difference between hymn 823 and hymn 824?
No, I think it's just the melody. I think it's just the melody is different. The two.
Yeah.
One is Elvet Banks, and one is Es wohl gut uns gnädig sein.
Well, let me tell you what Luther's original was.
Uh-huh.
May God embrace us with his grace, pour blessings from his fountains, and by the brightness of his face, guide towards celestial mountains, so that his saving acts we see, wherein his love takes pleasure. Let Jesus' healing power be revealed in richest measure, converting every nation.
Hmm.
That's a good hymn, because a lot of people are angry at Luther on some of the writings he did about the Jews.
Yes.
You know, and yet it's very clear from this hymn, he really believes that
Absolutely.
We attempt to convert every nation.
You bet.
There's some good books, by the way, defending Luther on that are put out by Concordia Publishing House, but I don't want to get in that conversation right now. But the fact is this particular translation was by Richard Massey in 1887 is when he died. And they don't say who did. Oh, yeah. The translation I was looking at was by Samuel Jansel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in another book. It's not the Concordance, but it's called Lutheran Worship Hymnal Companion. And what it does, you look up hymns.
And it gives you their background.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to end right now, unless you want to go on by yourself.
No, I'm fine.
Oh, okay, fine. Because I'm preaching, and so if you keep listening in 5 minutes, I'm supposed to be on the air. So, God bless. Tomorrow, Insight Wednesday, the meaning of Israel.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.